Caring Review, print speaking to the blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview, that is @CUENDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@qnreview.com. That is information@CUENDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 28th of March 2024. From the news section. DVLA driving licence address could see you fined £1,000. This article was written by Joshua Cyril and read by me, Corey. Drivers have been warned they may face a £1,000 fine because of their address. Experts have warned that a little-known DVLA rule could leave motorists facing a hefty fine this year. Drivers must update their address on their licence, vehicle logbook, vehicle tax and private number plate documents every time they move. Failing to do so could land you with a £1,000 fine. Experts from Motormatch explained, address updates are more than just a matter of compliance. In the unfortunate event of an accident, having accurate address details ensures that essential information reaches the right individuals promptly, expediting necessary processes and potentially saving lives. The DVLA's requirement to update your address information extends beyond just your driving licence. It includes your vehicle logbook, direct debit for vehicle tax, and private number plate documents. Failing to update these details can lead to significant fines of up to £1,000, making it crucial for all drivers to be vigilant about keeping their information current. Even temporary moves, such as living away at university, warrant an update of your address details with the DVLA. This ensures that your records accurately reflect your situation and prevents unnecessary complications down the road. The process is both cost-free and convenient, allowing you to continue driving while awaiting your updated licence. At Motormatch, we place the utmost importance on the safety and convenience of our customers. We encourage all drivers to prioritise the accuracy of their address details, not only to avoid fines, but also to maintain the integrity of their vehicle-related paperwork. Staying vigilant in this regard is an essential part of being a responsible and law-abiding driver. Martin Lewis, DVLA, Driving Licence Warning. Martin Lewis has warned drivers who passed their test before 2015 to make a quick check now to avoid a £1,000 fine. The DVLA has found that more than 2 million licences may be out of date, putting drivers at risk of a fine. Photocard licences must be renewed every 10 years to ensure the image is a true likeness of the driver. Expiry dates are displayed in section 4B on the front of the cards. Failing to return an expired licence to the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency, DVLA, is an offence under the Road Traffic Act 1988 and can be punished with a fine of up to £1,000. Money-saving expert Martin Lewis warned in his latest newsletter, has your photo driving license expired? 2 million have. They usually expire after 10 years, so check its section 4B to see. Our driving license check guide has full info on how to renew safely and cheaply and avoid a hefty fine. A quick check now could save you a fine of up to £1,000 if your photo card's expired. It's an annoying £14 to renew, £17 if you renew by post, but that's a far better option than a fine. The DVLA advises people to renew on its official website, as it is the quickest and cheapest method. Applications cost £14 and are usually processed within 5 days. Third-party websites charge additional fees. Postal renewals cost £17, while doing it at the post office has a £21.50 fee. A DVLA spokeswoman said, "We encourage customers to use gov.uk, as applying online is the quickest and cheapest way to renew their photo card driving licence. If you stop driving altogether, you should inform DVLA and return your licence rather than keeping it as a form of out-of-date photo ID." That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Joshua Cyril, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 28th of March 2024. From the news section, DWP, Universal Credit and PIP payment dates over Easter 2024. This article was written by Joshua Cyril and read by me, Corey. Universal Credit, PIP and other benefit claimants may find their payments affected by the Easter bank holiday this weekend. Both Good Friday, March 29th and Easter Monday, April 1st are bank holidays where payments from the Department of Work and Pensions, DWP, won't be made. If you are due to receive a DWP benefit payment on either day, you may find you received your payment on a different day. While you may be paid earlier in some cases, the money will also have to last you longer, as payment dates will return to normal after the Easter bank holiday weekend. If your payment is due on either Good Friday, it is likely you will receive the payment on Thursday, March 28th. The same is true for those expecting a payment on Easter Monday. If your payment is due on a different day, it will arrive in your account as normal and the amount you are due to be paid will remain the same. These are the benefits that may be affected by the Easter bank holiday weekend. Attendance allowance. Carers allowance. Child benefit. Disability living allowance. Employment and support allowance. Income support. Job seekers allowance. Pension credit. Personal independence payment. State pension. Tax credits. Universal credit. DWP universal credit payments to increase. Millions of people in who receive universal credit will see their payments from the DWP increase next month. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt announced that DWP universal credit payments would be rising in the new financial year during 2023's autumn statement. At that time, Mr. Hunt told MPs in the House of Commons that the government would increase universal credit and other benefits by 6.7%, in line with September's inflation figures. The increase, which comes into force from April 1st, will be worth an average £470 for 5.5 million households, the Chancellor said. Pensioners set for £900 increase. Pensioners will see their state pension increase by up to £900 next month, as an announcement made at last year's autumn statement comes into effect. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt confirmed that the triple lock on pensions would be honoured, with state pensions set to rise from April 1st. Under the triple lock, which guarantees an increase in line with average earnings inflation or 2.5%, whichever is highest, pensions will increase by 8.5% next month. He told MPs, "The triple lock has helped lift 250,000 older people out of poverty since its inception in 2011. It has been a lifeline for many during times of inflation. We honour our commitment to triple lock in full. We will increase the new state pension by 8.5%, worth up to £900 more a year. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Joshua Cyril, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday, the 28th of March, 2024. From the news section. Glasgow police issued urgent warning about Royal Mail scam. This article was written by Rebecca Newlands and read by me, Corey. Glasgow police have issued an urgent warning about Royal Mail scam circulating the community. Scammers are impersonating Royal Mail staff and putting notes through doors saying that they could not deliver a package. The note includes a QR code that you're asked to scan to rebook the delivery, saying that if you do not, the package will be returned to the sender. The QR code leads to a malicious website using Royal Mail branding, which asks you to enter personal and payment details. Amid this issue, officers have issued some guidance on how to avoid being a victim. People should never scan a QR code from an unfamiliar or unexpected source. If the message appears to have been sent by a company or organisation, visit their legitimate website to make a payment or update details rather than scanning a code. Royal Mail and other legitimate parcel services will never contact you unexpectedly to ask for personal or payment details. If you are concerned that a text or email may be a scam, you can visit www.orlo, which is orlo.uk/xPY0 to check if the barcode/tracking number provided is correct. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Rebecca Newlands, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday, the 28th of March, 2024. From the news section. Woman due in court as cops continue to patrol after incident. This article was written by Rebecca Newlands and read by me, Corey. A woman is due in court following an incident on a busy street as cops continue to patrol the area. Officers responded to a report of an incident in Church Street and St Andrew's Court in Blantyre on Wednesday evening. A cordon was in place for several hours while investigations were carried out. No one was reported to be injured in the situation. The force has revealed they charged a 34-year-old woman in connection. She is due to appear in court on Saturday, March 30th. There will remain a police presence in the area and concerned locals can speak to officers who will reassure them. A spokesperson for Police Scotland said, a 34-year-old woman has been arrested and charged following an incident in Church Street, St Andrew's Court in Blantyre last night. She is due to appear in Hamilton Sheriff Court on Saturday, March 30th, 2024. Police responded to the incident at around 7:30 p.m. There were no reported injuries and inquiries remain ongoing. Additional officers are on patrol to reassure the local community, and anyone with concerns can approach and speak to these officers. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Rebecca Newlands, and it was read by me, Corey.
From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 29th of March, from the news section. Pair tried to sell drugs to cops in plain clothes. This article is unattributed. Two people allegedly tried to sell undercover cops drugs in Glasgow. Specialist officers in plain clothes say they were approached by two individuals in the city centre on Wednesday, March 27th. After that, police say the pair offered to sell the officers drugs. Both individuals were then detained and allegedly found in possession of several hundred tablets, which are suspected Class C drugs. They will now be reported to court. A spokesperson for Police Scotland said, "Sometimes criminals make detections easy. Last night, two individuals approached plainclothes officers from the Greater Glasgow Division of Violence Reduction Unit in the city centre, offering to sell them drugs. Both detained and found in possession of several hundred tablets, suspect Class C drugs. Both will be reported to court." New space for popular restaurant. A popular Glasgow restaurant has moved to a new location. Namak Mandi has announced that they've relocated to Norfolk Street in the city. Previously the venue, which specialises in authentic Afghani cuisine, was based in Bridge Street. It is understood that Eatery opened its doors at its new location earlier this month. Announcing the huge move in social media recently, Namak Mandi said, "Exciting news, Namak Mandi has a sizzling new address, 100 Norfolk Street, G5, 9EJ. To find out more, visit www.facebook.com/namak.mandi. That's namak.mandi. And those articles were unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 29th of March, from the news section, "Work on new road bridge over River Clyde takes step forward." This article is unattributed. Work on a major new road bridge over the River Clyde has taken a step forward. Renfrewshire Council has said construction of the first opening road bridge over the river has progressed as new dolphins have been installed into position in the river. The dolphins are steel structures which are the latest part of the project to be completed. They provide additional safety infrastructure required for boats moving along the river past the new bridge. The council say the structures took 5 months to create and were cut and welded and assembled by the steel fabricating company Hadfab. After that, using 100-ton cranes, they were lifted onto a transporter at Westway in Renfrew onto a barge and were sailed down the white cart onto the Clyde and into their final positions, with four dolphins installed to support vessels of up to 160 metres in length. The blasting and painting of the dolphins was commissioned by Hadfab to local Renfrewshire company, Clyde Corrosion Control, who are based at Westway, part of the Advanced Manufacturing Innovation District Scotland, AMIDS. The bridge work is part of the Clyde Waterfront and Renfrew Riverside project. It aims to regenerate the Clyde waterfront with a new bridge from Renfrew to Yoker, as well as additional connecting roads, cycling and walking routes. The project hopes to create better connectivity for communities, attract new jobs and developments to the riverside, and enhance the access for businesses and suppliers to Scotland's Home of Manufacturing Innovation, AMIDS. The local authority said the bridge is due to arrive in two separate sections in April and May. After that, it will be installed and commissioned on-site before opening later this year. Renfrewshire Council leader Ian Nicholson said, "It's fantastic to see the new bridge take another step forward as these dolphins are installed to support ships to dock when required, and it's great to see a Renfrewshire business involved in this part of the project." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 29th of March, from the Lifestyle section, "USAF to look at support for cancelled I Write Festival," report by Stuart Patterson. Hamza Yousaf said he will look at what support the Scottish Government can give to save Glasgow's I Write Festival. The event has been cancelled by Glasgow Life just weeks before it was due to start. It said it was refused £77,500 from Creative Scotland and that as the event was dependent on external funding and as it was refused, the festival will not take place this year. Yousaf was quizzed about the funding decision at First Minister's Questions by Glasgow Conservative MSP Annie Wells, who asked for details of the decision making. She said, "I Write Book Festival which has been running in Glasgow for nearly 20 years, has been cancelled this year, just weeks before it was due to return, after its funding bid was rejected by Creative Scotland. This comes just weeks after it was revealed that Quango initially awarded an explicit film £85,000. Can the First Minister clarify Creative Scotland's prioritisation process in cultural funding decisions, and what steps the Scottish Government is taking to safeguard the diversity and vibrancy of Glasgow's cultural landscape? The First Minister agreed it was a fantastic event and said that he would explore the matter further. Youssef said, "I write it's a fantastic festival. Anybody that's had the pleasure of being able to attend its events in the past knows the value it brings not just to the city, but indeed, I would suggest, to the country as a whole. These decisions are for Creative Scotland to make independently of Scottish Government ministers. Nonetheless, having been alerted to the news, I will look at what potential support the Scottish Government can provide, because Annie Wales is right. I write as a fantastic festival, and I would say it is something of a cultural icon and institution within our festival and our cultural landscape. So I will examine the issue." After the news of the cancellation, former First Minister Nicola Sturgeon said it was really bad news. She said, "I know money is tight, but very much hope that a way is found to get iWrite back on track. Books, culture generally, are so vital to our well-being, and never more so in the troubled times we live in today. Book festivals are opportunities to celebrate the wonder of literature and those who create it. We mustn't lose that." A spokesperson for Creative Scotland said, "We recognise the significance of iWrite to audience and the literature sector and understand that this is disappointing news. The National Lottery Open Fund for Organisations remains available to iWrite to apply for further funding, and we welcome future applications. As demand for these funds continues to increase, Creative Scotland also continues to advocate for more resources to support culture and creativity across Scotland." And the article was by Stuart Patterson.
Glasgow Times News on Easter Monday, the 1st of April. Ban on city pavement parking is facing a delay. An article written by Sarah Healy. Glasgow's ban on pavement parking is facing months of delay due to IT issues. The council's transport convener, Councillor Angus Miller, said a contractor's back office system is expected to be ready for the rollout in September. Initial estimates were for March. Scottish Greens councillor Anthony Carroll pointed out that there were no hold-ups in Edinburgh, while Glasgow has been delayed. The capital was the first city in Scotland to enforce a ban on pavement parking on January the 29th, with motorists facing fines of up to £100. Speaking at a full Glasgow City Council meeting, Councillor Miller, SNP, said that streets are also being assessed to make sure that they are ready for the ban, with some very narrow roads possibly being exempt to let emergency vehicles through. Replying to questions from Councillor Carroll, Councillor Miller said, "The council is committed to enforcement of the national prohibition on pavement parking. As I noted at a previous full council meeting, the necessary changes to our back office systems and enforcement processes could only be instructed by the council following the finalisation of regulations by the Scottish Government in December. While our contractor at that point had indicated that a target date of March for this work to be finalised, the latest estimate from CGI is that it will be September for this to be complete. The department is currently engaging with the contractor, CGI, to understand the reasons for this delay and whether it will be possible to accelerate this. I have certainly impressed upon officers my desire to see this complete as soon as possible. In terms of any exemptions, an audit is required of all streets in the city to identify a street where an exemption may be required." He explained that streets are currently being assessed for suitability. He added, "In terms of enforcement timescales, enforcement of dropped curbs and double parking will begin as soon as back office systems allow. At this point, full enforcement of pavement parking will also commence on streets when no further assessment is deemed to be required." Bailey Carroll expressed disappointment in terms of CGI's response. He added, Edinburgh did have CGI also in terms of their back office IT systems. So whilst we have been delayed, Edinburgh has not been delayed by that system. Councillor Miller said there were differences in the IT systems regarding software for parking management, so it is not directly comparable. He said the council is in discussion with Edinburgh Council to learn more about its approach. An article written by Sarah Hilly. Glasgow Times News. On Easter Monday, the 1st of April. First bus slammed for axing paper tickets for customers. An exclusive front page article written by Kirsty Fierick. First bus has been slammed for axing monthly paper tickets for customers. Passengers will now have to download an app to pay for a four-week pass, but have been accused of discrimination and digital exclusion for the move. One customer who relies on the bus to get to work every day told the Glasgow Times he can't afford a smartphone, so he therefore can't access the apps. Another commuter, Scott Flanagan, claims First Bus isn't thinking of low-income customers, as he was told to use a second phone when his mobile runs out of charge. Scott said, I do have a smartphone, but it doesn't hold a lot of charge. When I asked First Bus what will I do when it dies, they said to use another phone. I don't have another phone. They aren't thinking about people who don't have a lot of money. My friend doesn't have a phone that has apps, and he is just being forgotten about. We can't just buy new phones or second phones so that we can get the bus. When I tried to complain on the phone, they said I had to do it on the website, which is even more of a digital exclusion for people who aren't online. We rely on monthly paper tickets just to get to work, so to take them off us isn't right. We can get paper daily or weekly tickets, but it would cost a lot more money, which isn't fair. At least with the franchising system, the passengers will have some sort of say and make the buses accountable. Scott's friend, who wants to stay anonymous, said, I've been using the monthly paperback Transcard for years as I find it convenient and very straightforward to use. First Bus, for some reason, has decided to stop this and is forcing me to use the app, which takes away my choice as a customer. I cannot use the app because my phone is not compatible and it will cost me at least £150 to upgrade to a smartphone just to use an app. I feel that this is a form of discrimination and digital exclusion. A spokesperson for First Bus said, Due to the end of our agreement with PayPoint, we can confirm that our paper four-weekly tickets are no longer available. However, it does remain available through digital platforms. Customers can still purchase single, return, day or weekly tickets on the bus should they be unable to access our digital platforms. All First Bus vehicles in Glasgow accept payment via cash, card or contactless methods, meaning customers can use whichever method is best suited to them to travel on our services. We would encourage as many customers as possible to use the First Bus app, as it provides them with the most up-to-date live information. However, it is not a necessity to have a smartphone to travel on the bus. An exclusive front-page article written by Kirsty Fierick. Glasgow Times, on Bank Holiday Monday, the 1st of April. Lifestyle. Booker Prize winner slams festival acts. An article written by Nicole Mitchell. A Booker Prize winner has hit out after Glasgow's I Write Festival was shelved due to a lack of funding. Douglas Stewart, author of Shuggy Bane and Young Mungo, took to social media calling the cancellation unacceptable. We previously reported that the plug had been pulled on I Write after it was turned down for financial support by the Scottish Government's arts agency Creative Scotland. While I Write is produced by Glasgow Life, it's understood that it was reliant on Creative Scotland's continuing support through its Open Fund, which supports events such as the Celtic Connections Festival and the Glasgow Film Festival. A bid of £77,500 was rejected. In a thread posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, Glasgow-born Douglas said that Scottish politicians are failing to do their jobs to protect my art, and said Ireland has a better understanding of the importance of culture, people and literature. He wrote, "The righteous outrage around the cancellation of the iWrite Festival is not merely a conversation about the merits of literary festivals or whether Scotland's first city deserves one. It's much bigger than that. I have watched in horror as Scotland has haggled over funding for the arts, has closed her libraries, and now has allowed the cancellation of a major literary festival in her largest city. A festival that has a focus on Scottish voices. In the past year, I've sat through many interviews asking about the surge of great Irish writing. And while Irish writers are great, it's also clear to me that Ireland understands that culture, people and literature are her strength, and they fund it like they mean it. I toured all the major Irish festivals and then spent another week touring the smaller towns from Ennis to Drogheda, and yet my hometown of Glasgow, Scotland's largest city, can't have a literature festival. That's unacceptable." He continued, "When I won the Booker Prize, within hours of the announcement, many of the major political parties contacted me asking for my support. But the politicians who wanted to use my art to protect their jobs are failing to do their jobs to protect my art. iWrite is not just about one city or one festival. It's about a nation's pride in her art. It's about working class access to literature. And let's not be coy here. Working class people are crucial to Scottish literature." Launched in 2005, iWrite featured around 175 authors appearing in more than 120 events across 10 days last year. Guests included the former First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, crime writer Val McDermott, poet Liz Lochhead, comics Frankie Boyle, Josie Long and Janie Godley, and broadcasters Sally Magnusson and Asma Meir. Glasgow Life has also shelved the We Write Book Festival for Children and Young People, which was held separately from iWrite. A spokesperson for Glasgow Life said, "The iWrite and We Write Book Festivals celebrate the joy of reading, writing and books, bringing audiences and authors together. Their delivery is dependent on securing external funding, and while bids for funding support continue to exceed monies available, especially during the current difficult economic climate, some events will inevitably miss out. iWrite and WeWrite have developed and grown over the years, thanks, in part, to support through Creative Scotland. Our 2024 funding application to Creative Scotland was not successful, so iWrite and WeWrite will not be able to take place as festivals this year. We appreciate that this will cause considerable disappointment. Glasgow Life will organise some pop-up iWrite events during 2024 and will develop an application for multi-year funding starting in 2025, which, if successful, means a return for the festivals next year." A spokesperson for Creative Scotland said, "We recognise the significance of iWrite to audiences and the literature sector and understand that this is disappointing news. The National Lottery Open Fund for organisations remains available to iWrite to apply for further funding. As demand for these funds continues to increase, Creative Scotland also continues to advocate for more resources to support culture and creativity across Scotland." An article written by Nicole Mitchell. Glasgow Times News on Bank Holiday Monday, the 1st of April. Workers to benefit from the national minimum wage increase. An article written by Ben Waddell. Workers in Scotland are to benefit from the largest ever cash boost to the national minimum wage. 200,000 workers across the country will receive a pay increase as the national minimum wage and the national living wage rise comes into effect from today. The rate rises include a 9.8% increase in the national living wage, taking it from £10.42 per hour to £11.44. The £1.02 increase per hour is the largest ever cash increase to the national living wage. Business Minister Kevin Holenrake said, "Today's announcement is an historic moment as we end low hourly pay for those on the national living wage in the UK. Full-time workers on the national living wage now earn over £8,600 per year more since its introduction as we continue to protect people's income. Today's increase will help around 3 million low-paid workers supporting families in Scotland and across the UK. Scottish Secretary Alistair Jack said, "The biggest ever rise to the national living wage that comes into force today will make a huge difference to around 200,000 hard-working Scots, with an increase of more than £1 an hour to £11.44. This comes on top of the second 2 pence cut to national insurance, in addition to the first 2 pence cut in January, worth an average of £680 extra per year to around 2.4 million Scottish workers. Seeing people keep more of their hard-earned wages is all part of our plan to boost prosperity as we see the economy grow." An article written by Ben Waddell. Glasgow Times News. On Bank Holiday Monday, the 1st of April. New hate crime law comes into effect. An article written by James Walker. The Scottish Government's controversial new hate crime law comes into effect today. The Hate Crime and Public Order Scotland Act was passed by MSPs in 2021, consolidating existing hate crime legislation and creating a new offence of stirring up hatred against protected characteristics, although sex has been omitted in favour of a standalone bill designed to tackle misogyny. A stirring up offence on the basis of race has been on the statute book in Scotland since 1986. But the legislation has raised concerns about a potential chilling of free speech. Prominent critics include author J.K. Rowling, podcaster Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk, the owner of X, which was formerly known as Twitter. The Act has also raised the ire of policing bodies, with the Scottish Police Federation claiming training for officers is not enough, and the Association of Scottish Police Superintendents raising concerns about the legislation being weaponised for political purposes. It warned vexatious comments could be made against people based on their views by political opponents. In a letter to Holyrood's Justice Committee, they said that the law could be weaponised by an activist fringe across the political spectrum. But on Friday, First Minister Humza Yousaf said, "I would say to anyone who thinks they're a victim of hatred, we take that seriously. If you felt that you are a victim of hatred, then of course reporting that to the police is the right thing to do. If you're thinking about making a vexatious complaint, if you're thinking about making a complaint and there's no merit in that, then do know that the police will take that seriously in terms of tackling vexatious complaints, and so I would urge you not to do it." The First Minister has repeatedly said that there is disinformation being spread about the bill and what it entails, claiming there is a triple lock of protection for speech. An article written by James Walker.
From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section, 3,000 more motorists fined over LEZ breach, report by Stuart Patterson. More than 35,000 fines have been issued since Glasgow's low emission zone came into force. Thousands more have been added in the latest monthly figures. An update shows in the first 9 months of enforcement, since June last year, a total of 35,195 fines have been handed out to drivers who fell foul of the scheme. The latest data shows 3,001 fines issued in February. The latest monthly total showed there were 113 cases where the fine reached a maximum of £960 because they had been penalised for the fifth time. In total, 560 maximum fines have been dished out by the council. In February, there were £2,487 first-time penalties handed out where the drivers are fined £60. The fine doubles for each subsequent breach up to a maximum of £960. The zone, and how it has been implemented, has been the subject of criticism and protests, including from some in the business community and taxi trade. Last month, the Glasgow Times reported how a Glasgow business had dropped its appeal against the Court of Session decision that ruled that the LEZ was lawful. Patton's Accident Repair Centre in Townhead had urged the LEZ was unlawful and unnecessary because the council had already net air quality standards in the city centre. Glasgow City Council said the LEZ is necessary to reduce pollution. The council states, "Although we've made good progress in recent years to improve Glasgow's air quality, harmful nitrogen dioxide has been recorded in our city centre at levels that do not meet the legal requirements. As the main source of this harmful pollutant is from road traffic, Glasgow's low emission zone is an essential measure to improve air quality and help protect public health, especially for the most vulnerable. Glasgow's LEZ can also help accelerate the uptake of less polluting vehicles, encourage people to move away from private car use, and increase the safety, attractiveness and amenity of our city centre. And that article was by Stuart Patterson. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday to the 2nd of April, from the news section, 999 crews rush to stabbing alert. This article is unattributed. A huge emergency response was spotted on a busy street after a man was brutally stabbed on Easter Sunday. The incident took place on Aitken Street in Airdrie shortly after 6 p.m. on Sunday. Emergency crews rushed to the serious assault. Following that, a 60-year-old man was rushed to hospital with serious but not life-threatening injuries. During the incident, multiple ambulance crews and police vehicles were pictured in the area. The man was discharged from hospital after the horror ordeal. An investigation into the brutal attack is ongoing. A spokesperson for Police Scotland said, around 6 p.m. on Sunday, March the 31st, 2024, police were called to the Aitken Street area of Airdrie following the serious assault of a 60-year-old man. The man was taken to Queen Elizabeth University Hospital with serious but not life-threatening injuries. He has since been discharged and inquiries into the incident are ongoing. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, What's All in Glasgow? ABBA documentary lifts lid on iconic Glasgow lyric. Article by Anne Fotheringham. A new documentary about ABBA reveals the famous line about Glasgow in the song Super Trooper was actually dreamt up on stage in the Apollo. The legendary city music venue was also the only stop in the worldwide tour where the group had to have an intermission so the bar could open. And when ABBA came to Britain, which marks 50 years of the Swedish supergroup's links with the UK, singer-songwriter Björn Ulvaeus reveals the line, "I was sick and tired of everything when I called you last night from Glasgow," just came naturally to him at the Apollo. He adds, "The song is about waiting for my new girlfriend and I was thinking about that while I'm up on stage." Super Trooper was the title of the track of the band's next album, released in November 1980. Thomas Johansson, who produced all of the ABBA tours in Britain, says he remembers the Apollo date in particular. "We had to have an intermission in Glasgow so they could have the bar open," he recalls with a smile. "It was the only place we had an intermission." Broadcaster and author Stuart McConey says the Glasgow gig, which was the last time ABBA played in Britain, was the end of an era. He adds, "The city became immortalised when Björn wrote that line, 'I was sick and tired of everything when I called you last night from Glasgow,' and then wishing every show was the last show in terms of the UK. It was the last show." The 1979 tour, which also visited North America, Europe and Asia, was the first time ABBA had been on the road for almost 3 years. They were still the biggest selling group in the history of recorded music, according to their label, however, and Glasgow went wild for the satin-clad foursome. Björn, Agnetha Faltzog, Benny Andersson and Anna Frida Lyngstad. The Apollo concert on November 13, 1979, included a performance by children from Hillhead High School. As it was the International Year of the Child, the group had choirs of young people sing with them on I Have a Dream at each concert. A total of 25 Hillhead pupils rehearsed for 4 weeks at lunchtimes and after school in preparation for the show. According to our newspaper's then pop writer, later features editor, Russell Kyle, the concert, in front of 3,500 fans, got off to a slow start because of problems with the acoustics, but once the problems had been ironed out, the band really hit their stride. Backed by a nine-piece band, They ran through all of their hits and introduced a sprinkling of newer songs. He added the biggest cheer on the night was reserved for Frida, who appeared in a Scotland football top. "It was 3 years since ABBA's last show," he wrote, "but the group seemed to have lost none of their appeal. Ever since they were introduced on stage at the Brighton Dome, resplendent in unforgettable platform heels and satin, ABBA have held an enduring place in Britain's hearts and in British pop culture." The new documentary features previously untransmitted interviews with ABBA and takes an affectionate look at the band and its fascination with British music, including the Beatles in the 1960s. After winning the Eurovision Song Contest with Waterloo in 1974, the band would eventually find global stardom, but their relationship with the UK remains unique. When ABBA came to Britain will be broadcast on April the 6th as part of a dedicated Saturday night of ABBA specials on BBC Two. And that article was written by Anne Fotheringham and read by me, Ian McKenna. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section, "Brazen thief pinches Range Rover. This report is unattributed." Police are hunting a brazen thief who stole a plush Range Rover from a driveway in Rutherglen. Officers say the high-value crime took place on Coldstream Drive shortly after 10:30pm on Friday, March 29. During the incident, a grey Range Rover Sport was stolen via what detectives call a relay theft. Police say a person wearing dark clothing was seen in the area and got into the car before driving off in it. It is understood the vehicle was specifically targeted. An appeal for information has been issued by officers dealing with the case. Constable Martin Barnsley, who is based at Rutherglen Police Station, said, "We have managed to get CCTV from the area and around 10:30pm on Friday night, a person wearing dark clothing is seen near the car, then getting in and driving off. The owner of the car still has the keys and the house was not broken into. We believe the vehicle was deliberately targeted and that the thief used what is known as a relay theft, where the signal from the true key is bypassed and unauthorised access gained. We would appeal to anyone who may have seen someone acting suspiciously in the area or who may have any information on the whereabouts of the vehicle, which is an SE66 prefix, to call police." A spokesperson for Police Scotland added, "Information can be passed to officers via 101, quoting incident number 0773 of Saturday, March the 30th. Alternatively, details can be passed anonymously to Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. And that article is unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section, "Brothers cleared of funeral attack. Report by Conor Gordon." Brothers accused of attacking their sibling and elderly mother at a family funeral have been cleared. Gerald Burns, 59, and Hugh Burns, 63, were alleged to have assaulted Michael Burns, 56, and Margaret Burns, 92, at Daldowie Crematorium, South Lanarkshire, on May the 23rd, 2022. The siblings and their mother attended the other brother John Burns' funeral that day amid a family dispute. Court papers stated that Gerald and Hugh seized Margaret, who used a wheelchair, on the body to her injury. Co-accused brother James Burns, 64, was claimed to have assaulted Michael by kicking him on the body to his injury at the same time and place. James faced a separate charge of behaving in a threatening or abusive manner. It was claimed he repeatedly adopted an aggressive demeanour and uttered homophobic remarks. Gerald and Hugh were also accused of behaving in a threatening or abusive manner. They were claimed to have repeatedly shouted, swore, and adopted an aggressive demeanour, as well as uttered threats of violence. Gerald and James, both of Uddingston as well as Hugh of View Park, Lanarkshire, had denied the charges against them. Sheriff Alan Mackay found the trio not guilty of the charges, and that report was by Conor Gordon. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section. Councillors agree plan to fly Palestinian flag. Report by Sarah Hilly. Glasgow councillors plan to fly the Palestinian flag above the city chambers and to provide aid to people in the region. A list of actions has been agreed by city councillors to show solidarity with all of the victims, their families and communities of the ongoing siege of Gaza and related violence. Laird Ass Massey, Scottish Greens councillor, lodged a motion alongside the SNP and Labour, which will also look at Glasgow offering financial relief to the Palestinians. The motion also condemned anti-Semitism and agrees that all Jewish people deserve to live without harassment and discrimination. The motion requests the Lord Provost add the Palestinian flag to the civic flag policy, allowing it to be flown on November the 29th, the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestine people. It also asked for the council to explore the financial relief that Glasgow could offer Palestinians in Gaza by way of medical aid for Palestine, similar to the financial relief offered to Ukraine. Massey said, "What we are witnessing today is genocide. It is a systematic expulsion, murder and disestablishment of our people and their nation." He added, "What we need to do is focus on what we are doing here in the council and make sure we weed out any kind of involvement in unethical practices, any kind of indirect or direct involvement of what is going on, not just in Palestine, but all around the world." The motion asked Council Leader Susan Aitken to write to the UK Foreign Secretary to request an arms embargo on Israel, among other measures, as well as to write to First Minister Hamza Yousaf to prevent the production and transfer of weapons and weapon components from arms companies in Scotland to Israel or their allies. Seconding his motion, Green colleague Martha Wardrop said, "We can act to bring an immediate halt to all arms sales and ensure that aid is getting in and reaching the people who need it." The motion also outlined how the Lord Provost is to share a message of solidarity and condolence with the Mayor of Bethlehem, and it condemned Islamophobia. The council is also to engage with Jewish representative groups, including Scottish Council of Jewish Communities and Naamud, to demonstrate ongoing support in the fight against anti-Semitism and to take their views on whether the Jerusalem Declaration and other actions could strengthen this work. A Conservative amendment to the motion was rejected, and that report was by Sarah Hilly. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section, driver fined over mobile phone claim. These articles are unattributed. Driver fined over mobile phone claim. A man has been fined after he reportedly drove past two marked police cars whilst using his mobile phone. Officers said the incident took place on the A82 on Sunday. The driver was then pulled over and issued a conditional offer of a fixed penalty. This was a £200 fine and 6 penalty points. A statement published by Police Scotland reads, "The driver of this vehicle decided to drive past two marked Dumbarton Road police vehicles while using his mobile phone on the A82. The driver was stopped and issued a conditional offer of a fixed penalty, which is a £200 fine and 6 penalty points. Hunt after man hurt in park attack. A manhunt is underway after a 32-year-old was attacked at a park in Alexandria. We previously reported that emergency services had responded to Christie Park at around 12:25pm on Friday, March 29th, following reports of an assault. Police confirmed the man had been taken to the Royal Alexandria Hospital for treatment. Now, officers have released a description of the suspect. He is described as white and around 5'11". At the time of the incident, he was seen wearing a grey top with a hood. Detective Constable Jack Muir of Clydebank CID said, "Our inquiries are ongoing to trace this man, and I am asking anyone who saw him or knows where he might be to get in touch. This assault happened when the park was lightly busy, so if you were in the area and can help us with an investigation, then please make contact with us. Anyone with any information is urged to contact Police Scotland via 101. Information can also be passed on anonymously by contacting Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. And those articles were unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section, First Minister proud of new hate crime laws. This report is unattributed. Scotland's First Minister has insisted he is very proud of new hate crime laws, which have just come into force, as author J.K. Rowling warned the legislation is wide open to abuse. The Harry Potter author, who has become a fierce critic of the Scottish Government's stance on transgender rights, has been one of the highest profile critics of the legislation. The Hate Crime and Public Order, Scotland Act, came into effect yesterday, consolidating existing hate crime legislation and creating a new offence of stirring up hatred against protected characteristics. However, women have not been given protection under the law, with the Scottish Government instead promising to bring forward legislation to tackle misogyny. But with the new act giving protection to transgender people, Rowling, who does not believe people can change their gender, insisted, "Freedom of speech and belief are at an end in Scotland if the accurate description of biological sex is deemed criminal." In a social media post, the writer argued, "It is impossible to accurately describe or tackle the reality of violence and sexual violence committed against women and girls, or address the current assault on women's and girls' rights, unless we are allowed to call a man a man." Criticising the new laws, she insisted that the legislation is wide open to abuse by activists who wish to silence those of us speaking about the dangers of eliminating women's and girls' single-sex spaces. Rowling added, "I'm currently out of the country, but if what I've written here qualifies as an offence under the terms of the new Act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of the Scottish Enlightenment." But Hamza Yousaf declared he is very proud of the new laws, saying they will help protect against a rising tide of hatred. The First Minister also insisted he is very confident in Police Scotland's ability in order to implement this legislation in the way it should. And that report was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, from the news section, social media star hails city spot, report by Ben Waddle. A massive American social media star has praised a popular Glasgow restaurant. Kalani Smith, known as Kalani Ghost Hunter on TikTok, recently visited Porter and Ryer in Agell Street in the city. The internet sensation, who hails from Nashville, Tennessee, posted a review of the eatery on social media, where he has almost 3 million followers. Kalani captioned the video, "One of the best Scottish steakhouses, Glasgow, Scotland. I was in meat heaven, this place was incredible." In it, he said, "I'm craving a Scottish steak. I'm going to see what your guys' steak game is all about, and I'm here in Glasgow at Porter and Rye." The social media food critic then showed off the dishes he got. The internet personality said he had a beautiful meal, rating the Glasgow eatery a 10 out of 10. And that article was by Ben Waddle. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 2nd of April, Tory View, Councillor John Daly, "Impact of fireworks on pets can be devastating." Fireworks season, which comes round faster every year, can cause severe distress and fear to many dogs, with knock-on effects for dog owners. Due to the animal welfare concerns caused by the unpredictability and loud noises of fireworks, Dogs Trust, the excellent charity supporting rehabilitation and eventual rehoming of many abandoned dogs, is actively calling for firework control zones to be implemented around its Glasgow Rehoming Centre, which is based within my ward of Bayliston. The Scottish Government, in an unusual moment of common sense, recognised the need to act on the wide-ranging impacts of fireworks on people and animals through new laws that were introduced after receiving support from the Scottish Conservatives. There are now restrictions on the times that fireworks can be set off and, though the sale of fireworks to those under 18 years old has long been illegal, the supply of fireworks to under 18s is now also unlawful, closing a previous loophole. There is no doubt that when fireworks are in the wrong hands, it can lead to devastating antisocial incidents, some against our courageous emergency workers, and it is reassuring that courts can now utilise a statutory aggravation when sentencing offenders who use fireworks to attack emergency workers. Powers have been awarded to local authorities to be able to introduce firework control zones, FCZs, where the private use of fireworks within certain boundaries will be outlawed. During last week's full council meeting, I asked a question of the city convener, Councillor Rory Kelly, about the administration of the FCZ, and if he would pay a visit with me to the Dogs Trust Rehoming Centre to discuss its proposals. I recently met with the Dogs Trust team at its fabulous rehoming centre in Broomhouse. The team prepares for months in the run-up to Bonfire Night to implement safeguarding measures for the dogs in their care. Dogs Trust Glasgow was forced to close early and increases staff support over Bonfire Night to ensure dogs remain as relaxed as possible while festivities go on. On Saturday, November the 4th, 2023, it was reported that there were numerous private displays in the vicinity of the centre, including houses very nearby. On Sunday, which was Bonfire Night, the fireworks reportedly started at 3 p.m. and were persistent till around 10 p.m. After that time, fireworks were sporadic until the early hours of Sunday morning. The impact on the dogs in the care of Dogs Trust would not have been sustained over around 9 hours. Not only was there a welfare impact on the dogs, but the people setting off the fireworks before 6 p.m. or after 12 a.m. were breaking the law. There are public displays in the area, so people will still be able to enjoy fireworks if a firework control zone is introduced. Nearby displays include the Fort, Carmel Park, Garra Hill Park and Strathclyde Country Park. Tyson is a 6-year-old Staffy / Collie Cross who was in the care of Dogs Trust over Bonfire Weekend 2023. Tyson was particularly distressed due to his life experiences, which had manifested in physical and behavioural issues. He had to be moved into the kennel area of the vet suite for the weekend, which is doubly insulated with walls and windows. Poor Tyson. Fireworks can affect dogs like him who are rehabilitating and preparing for a new home, and can contribute to a longer rehabilitation journey due to the distress they cause, which further impacts capacity at the centre. Dogs Trust strives to do its utmost to provide the best possible care. However, without an FCZ being implemented around the Glasgow Rehoming Centre, fireworks will continue to have a significant impact on dogs in their care, and indeed pets in the area who are impacted by fireworks. As a councillor, I have a wide range of responsibilities, including the welfare of animals residing at the Rehoming Centre in Broomhouse. I look forward to visiting the centre with the city convener to discuss making the FCZ work as effectively as possible. To find out how you can support your dog during fireworks season, try www.dogstrust.org.uk/dog-advice/life-with-your-dog/seasonal/fireworks. In the article was the Tory View, written by Councillor John Daly.
Glasgow Times, 2nd of April 2024, from the opinion section. Guidance for hate incident recording remains in jeopardy. With the new Hate Crime and Public Order Scotland Act 2021 coming into force today, it's important to appreciate that this is largely a consolidating piece of legislation. This means it brings together in one place various existing criminal offences. Section 4 of the Act is distinct. It creates a new offence of stirring up hatred against a group of persons by abusive or threatening behaviour in relation to their age, disability, religion, sexual orientation or transgender identity. This type of offence has existed for race or ethnicity in the UK since 1965, from Section 6 of the Race Relations Act. As I understand it, there have been very few prosecutions for stirring up hatred, no doubt because it was easier to prove other offences. The furor over hate crime legislation is less about the law and more about the culture, policy and expectations of the Scottish Government and Police Scotland on hate generally. For me, the big worry is the illiberal messaging from Police Scotland that every hate incident will be investigated and recorded, even if it's not a crime. It's important to note the recording of non-crime hate incidents, or NCHI, has been around before the new legislation. The point is, when the Act comes into force today, there's an expectation that more complaints will be made. Will there be an exponential rise? Will we see more activists offended by social media posts making reports to the police? Will the Hate Crime Act become weaponised as part of an ideological and political campaign over gender? There is no right not to be offended. NCHI recording stems from the murder of Stephen Lawrence in 1999. The Stephen Lawrence Inquiry Report called for codes of practice to create a comprehensive system of reporting and recording of all racist incidents and crimes. NCHI recording has since expanded to cover other protected characteristics covered by hate crime laws. Last week, First Minister Humza Yousaf said such data was vital to help the police. He said it's important that they are recorded because what it does is give police an idea of where there might be spikes in hatred. Police Scotland have stated that as a matter of policy, they will record all NCHIs. But what is this data capturing? Police guidance from 2021 says, the perception of the victim is the defining factor in determining whether an incident is a hate incident or in recognising the malice element of a crime. Evidence of malice and ill will is not required for a hate crime or hate incident to be recorded and thereafter investigated as a hate crime or hate incident by police. This open-door approach to NCHI was challenged in the English Court of Appeal in Miller versus the College of Policing 2021, EWCA CIV 1926. The court held that the recording of an NCHI interferes with the right to freedom of expression and that additional safeguards were needed so that the incursion into freedom of expression is no more than is strictly necessary. Last year, police guidance and rules in England were amended to reject trivial, irrational or malicious complaints and to not record names unless necessary. Police Scotland's guidance hasn't been amended. Standing Miller, that guidance appears open to challenge as being unlawful. That was an article by Mike Daly. The Glasgow Times, 2nd of April 2024, from the opinion section. Our children's futures are not negotiable. Full Council Day, and the Labour group are looking for some honest, truthful answers from the administration. It's my hope that today we get some. The last time we met as a council, the city's budget was set and reality of the financial mismanagement by the Scottish Government came home to roost. After being handed down a slither of the amount of money that we need to run the city, the reality of this egotistical and quite frankly inept administration in Holyrood left Glasgow with no option but to put the children of our city firmly in the firing line. The SNP Green Coalition's budget cuts, a direct consequence of this fiscal irresponsibility, are not merely adjustments on a balance sheet. They are profound betrayal of Glasgow's youth, deepening educational inequalities and further widening the attainment gap. The idea Glasgow schools must bear the brunt of Scottish Government's financial blunders is both tragic and infuriating. These cuts have stripped schools of essential resources, ballooned class sizes to untenable levels, and put the jobs of hundreds of dedicated educators on the line. Particularly galling is the dismantling of support for additional needs and MCR pathways, a move that reeks of short-sightedness and a lack of compassion. This isn't just a cutback, it's a clear message that some students are less worthy of investment. Perhaps even more galling, though, is the fact that cuts to jobs were hidden under terms of review and to be discussed at a working group. The group hadn't even been set up when letters to head teachers telling them of the cuts to their own schools were issued. But it's worth noting this was a brutal budget and this financial debacle didn't emerge in a vacuum. Years of fiscal mismanagement and misplaced priorities have led us to this precipice. The SNP's failure to steward public funds effectively has resulted in a scenario where the most vulnerable, our children, are going to pay the highest price. As Glasgow rallies against these cuts, the demand for accountability and a reversal of these measures grows louder. The time for excuses has passed. The SNP Greens must own up to their mistakes and reinvest in education, ensuring that every child in Glasgow, and indeed Scotland, has access to the quality education they deserve. The stakes couldn't be higher, and the resolve of Glasgow's residents have never been stronger. Our children's futures are not negotiable, and we stand united in demanding better. To add to the worry this week was also the auditor's report, presented to the Finance and Audit Scrutiny Committee first, and then the City Administration Committee. It clearly showed that 4 out of 6 of the main financial issues that the city must concentrate on are in danger. This included vision for the city, resilience and planning. Our city deserves better than this financial mismanagement. The consequences of it are real. There was a positive news this week though, and I want to take this opportunity to congratulate the incoming Chief Executive, Suzanne Miller, who will take up the position when Anne-Marie O'Donnell retires in May. Suzanne has worked tirelessly over the years for Glasgow City Council, and I wish her all the very best in her new role. That was an article by George Redmond. Glasgow Times, 2nd of April 2024, from the Lifestyle section. Urgent recall issued for Magnum ice cream over metal pieces. An urgent recall has been issued by Unilever for Magnum classic ice cream after the possible presence of metal makes the product unsafe to eat. In a statement shared by the Food Standards Agency, the FSA, customers affected have been told Unilever is calling Magnum classic ice cream sticks 3 × 100 mL because they may contain pieces of metal. The possible presence of metal makes this product unsafe to eat. The products affected include those in pack sizes of 3 × 100 mL with the following batch codes: L3324, L3325, L3326, L3327 and L3328. I'll say those again. L3324, L3325, L3326, L3327 and L3328. The product also has a best before date of November 2025. The statement from the Food Standard Agency is Friday, 29th of March 2024, Unilever recalls Magnum Classic ice cream sticks 3-pack because they may contain pieces of metal. Discussing the recall, the FSA website added, Unilever are recalling the above products. Point of sale notices will be displayed in all retail stores that are selling this product. These notices explain to customers why the product is being recalled and tell them what to do if they have bought the product. Please see the attached notice which I have just read. Sharing its advice to consumers, the agency said If you have bought the above product, do not eat it. Instead, any customers with queries or concerns can contact the care line for further guidance on 0800 678 1031. That's 0800 678 1031. What are product withdrawals and recalls? According to the FSA, when there is a problem with a food product and it is unsafe to eat, it may be withdrawn or taken off the shelves. Or recalled, customers are asked to return the product. The agency publicises this information so that consumers and local authorities are aware of the issue. In some cases, a food alert for action is issued, as in this case. This gives council specific details of the action that should be taken on behalf of the consumer. That was an article by Andrew Smart.
This is from the Glasgow Times on the 3rd of April 2024 from the news section. And the headline reads, Clyde Bank Man Reunited with Strangers Who Saved His Life. This article is by Ava White. A man who was attacked by a gang of youths and left for dead in Clydebank nearly 16 years ago has finally been reunited with the strangers who saved his life that night. Joe Proctor had been walking home from a night out in the town to his parents in Yoker when he was ambushed on the 4th and Clyde Canal Path on March 29th, 2008. He suffered a fractured skull, nose and a broken tooth. Joe, who was 18 at the time, also had hypothermia as he'd been plunged into the canal. Paramedics said that he could have died had a stranger not pulled him from the water, wrapped him in a curtain to keep him warm, and phoned emergency services. Following numerous public appeals to trace the kind-hearted stranger, Joe told the Glasgow Times he wasn't sure he'd ever find him. However, that all changed when the now 34-year-old recently received a comment on social media. Joe said, I got a message under one of the videos that I'd done a couple of years ago to try and find the woman that saved my life. A guy had seen it and said, I'm sure that's someone I know. I messaged back asking for details and he gave me her phone number. I sent a text and asked if it would be alright to give her a call. I phoned that night and we had a big chat about the whole thing. She told me in detail everything that had happened, that her daughter was involved and that she was also on the call. I didn't even know that there was another person. It came as a bit of a surprise. I wanted to meet them straight away. When we met up, it was really emotional. They told me information I didn't know before. It was quite hard to hear. Joe explained that he had believed he might have provoked his attackers. However, after speaking to the two women, who wished to remain anonymous, he was told that this hadn't been the case. He added, they saw me staggering down the path and thought that's not going to end well, because it happened all the time in that area, where people were getting attacked and there were always gang fights too. They said they could hear me screaming and shouting, I've not even done anything, and then they heard me get put in the water. They rushed over and the daughter had to get into the water and lift me out from underneath my armpits, and the mum helped with my legs. The daughter then grabbed the first thing she could to find to keep me warm, which was a curtain. This was where the mum was on the phone with the ambulance. It was hard to hear, but it managed to give me closure and has helped. When I first met the two of them, I was just crying, hugging them. It was crazy. So much time had passed that I just thought it was never going to happen. When I thanked them, I said, I'm not just saying thank you for me. I'm saying thank you for my friends and my family as well. Joe, who is now the proud dad of a little boy, said that this incredible act of kindness has pushed him to help others. He says he has forgiven the youths who attacked him and has always just accepted that it happened. Whilst working as an actor, Joe would visit schools and perform in anti-gang violence plays to raise awareness of the devastating consequences. He said, it's such a weird feeling when a stranger has saved your life, as you just have this built-in drive to find them. It spurred me on to help others. I give blood regularly and I like to think that's the reason why. I want to try and help save strangers' lives too. I was working as an actor for quite a long time, and I was doing anti-gang violence plays in schools, which has allowed me to tell my story. I'd like to think it would help prevent other kids from doing stuff like that. The whole thing has just made me want to be nicer to people. I've never been one for getting my own back. I've always just accepted that it happened. I can't imagine the young guys were going through such a great time in their lives to be doing stuff like that, so I don't hold any grudges. This article was by Ava White. This is from the Glasgow Times on the 3rd of April 2024 from the news section, and the headline reads, "Family of missing Lindsay woman concerned for her well-being." This article is by Ben Waddle. The family of a missing woman from Lindsay are concerned for her well-being. Angela Keenan was last seen in the Laxton Drive area of the town at around 7 a.m. on Tuesday, April the 2nd. The 58-year-old is described as being white, slim-built, around 5 feet 4 inches tall, with blonde hair usually tied back in a ponytail. She is understood to be wearing a black puffer jacket, black jeans, grey bootleg slippers, and silver bangles on her waist. Police believe the missing woman is travelling within a black Kia Venga, registration SD63VLL. Issuing an appeal to track down Angela, Inspector Michael Booker said, "Along with her family, we are concerned for Angela's well-being and are appealing to anyone with information on her whereabouts to contact police as soon as possible. Please call 101, quoting reference 2258 of April 2nd, 2024. This article was by Ben Waddle. This is from the Glasgow Times on the 3rd of April, 2024, from the news section, and the headline reads, "Glasgow drug dealer ran a mobile shop from car park." This article is by Tristan Stewart Robertson. A man has been jailed for operating a drug mobile shop in a shopping centre car park in broad daylight. Christopher Keir, 33, appeared from custody at Dumbarton Sheriff Court, having admitted to being concerned in the supply of both cocaine and heroin. The resident of Ledmore Drive, Drumchapel, was seen at around 10:35 a.m. in a vehicle at St. James's Retail Park in Dumbarton. He was in the front passenger seat, the fiscal dispute told the court, and officers detected a strong smell of cannabis. Keir was searched and found to have 12 wraps of cocaine and 8 wraps of heroin in his left hoodie pocket. His gloves were folded into each other, and there were another 30 wraps of heroin and 19 of cocaine inside. Prosecutors said the drugs found on March 13th, 2023, were worth a total of £1,070. Sheriff William Gallagher said it was a mobile shop and that Keir admitted to social workers to driving around, offering Class A drugs in the town. "I'm horrified by that," he said in the March 26 hearing. The defence solicitor accepted. He has gone further than that in the report. Sheriff Gallagher said the dealer had claimed the drugs he supplied never harmed anyone. The man's lawyer replied that his client seems to minimise his offending. Again, the sheriff replied by noting the number of times in his career he had attended at a mortuary because of the impact of drugs. "He understands his offending would have resulted in victims in one way or another," said the lawyer. "He does understand the gravity of the offences to which he pleaded guilty." Turning to Keir, Sheriff Gallagher said, "Your behaviour was shocking. I have been sitting in this court for over 10 years and I, on a daily basis, see people blighted by the drugs you supplied." He branded the claims that drugs didn't harm anyone as despicable and jailed the man for 9 months. The sheriff told the fiscal dispute to report back to the Crown that he was aghast that the case was classed as a lower summary one, not solemn with stiffer potential sentences. This article is by Tristan Stewart Robertson. This is in the Glasgow Times on the 3rd of April, 2024, from the news section, and the headline reads, "Police provide update after brutal stabbing in Glasgow." This article is by Ben Waddle. Police have provided an update after a brutal broad daylight stabbing in Glasgow. We previously reported the incident took place on Catewell Place in the city's Drumchapel area on Saturday, March the 23rd. The force says they were called to a report of a 35-year-old man being seriously assaulted. It is understood that he was stabbed. Following the shocking attack, the man was rushed to hospital for treatment. Now, officers have confirmed an investigation into the incident remains ongoing. A spokesperson for Police Scotland previously said, around 9:50am on Saturday, March 23rd, we received a report that a 35-year-old man had been seriously assaulted in Catewell Place, Glasgow. He was taken to Queen Elizabeth University Hospital for treatment. Inquiries are ongoing. This article was by Ben Waddle.
From Glasgow Times, Wednesday, 3rd of April, Lifestyle section. Huge New Greggs has officially opened on busy Glasgow Street by Ben Waddle. A huge New Greggs has officially opened on a busy Glasgow street, creating 5 new jobs for the area. The new store is located at number 319 to 321 Byers Road in the city's West End. Previously, it was based on number 259 Byers Road. However, the new shop is in a larger unit. It will stock freshly prepared Greggs favourites, including sausage rolls, steak bakes, and much more. On top of that, it will also serve up a range of iced drinks, including Coidy Lemonade and Iced Mocha, which are only available in limited shops across the UK. The new store is open for takeaway and sit-ins. Its opening hours are Monday to Saturday, 6:30am until 8pm, and 7:30am to 6pm on Sunday. Shop manager Patricia McMail said, "We can't wait to welcome both Greggs fans and new customers to our brand new shop. We've got an amazing range of iconic savouries, fair trade hot drinks, hot food and healthier choices available for takeaway, sit-in or click and collect." Gillian Long, Retail Operations Director for Greggs, said, "We're excited to be welcoming customers to our new and improved shop in Glasgow Byers Road, with 5 new members joining the existing team. We look forward to providing customers with a modern, convenient new place to experience their Greggs favourites." That article was written by Ben Waddle. From Glasgow Times, Wednesday, 3rd of April, Lifestyle section. Barra's transformed into Hong Kong street market this weekend by Ben Waddle. Glasgow's Barra's market will be transformed into a Hong Kong style street market this weekend. We previously reported the venue in the city's East End will host the event on Saturday, April 6, from 10am to 8pm, and Sunday, April the 7th, from 10am until 4pm. Returning this year, the market is expected to be even better, with visitors being able to enjoy authentic Hong Kong street food from a selection of stalls serving dim sum and much more. On top of that, unique handmade crafts and traditional art pieces will be for sale, while there will also be live performances being held. The event is free to attend. That article was written by Ben Waddle.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at TuneReview and to tell your friends about our service.